Welcome to Refuge Radio, episode number 5. I'm your host, Kristen Berry. Refuge Radio is a podcast about the issues facing more than 566 National Wildlife Refuges and all of our public lands and waters. As part of our focus on urban refuges, today we travel down to Texas to learn more about the refuges in and around Houston. Enjoy the show.
On the phone with me today are Joy Blackwood, Urban Refuge Program Director for the National Wildlife Refuge Association, and Nancy Brown, a public outreach specialist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who works with Houston Community Partnerships and Engagement Program to bring the values of conservation to the Houston community. She was born in Mexico and moved to Texas at the age of 10. Before her 20 years with the refuge system, she served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Ecuador and was an ocean kayak guide in Alaska and Mexico. She likes to spend her free time painting, reading, kayaking, hiking, and traveling. Joy, Nancy, welcome to Refuge Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to have you on the show, and hopefully we can find some time. I want to pick your brain about the kayaking, but tell us a little bit first, Nancy, about what makes you passionate about your job.
I am so lucky that I get to do what I love. I was always that kid, you know, the one swimming in ponds and looking under rocks and catching anything that wasn't fortunate enough to get away from me. So I want others to have that same opportunity. I want nature to always be available to others. And I know that experience, I know that it looks different to different people, but I think in the end, everyone loves nature. And, you know, some people admire it from their kitchen window, and others, they want a backpack and they want to work hard to get to the most remote and inaccessible areas. But in the end, you know, both types of people are inspired by nature. And you can't really have either of those experiences if you don't protect these larger landscapes and if you don't ensure that they continue to function as natural systems. And so I'm really lucky to play a small role in that. And I'm really proud to work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service because it's our job to ensure that the American people are always going to have access to nature where they can hunt and fish and watch wildlife and find their own inspiration.
Yeah. So what's your involvement with refuges in the Houston area? What does it mean to be a public outreach specialist?
Well, again, I'm very lucky. I've always loved nature and always enjoyed being out in nature, but my brain sort of works in more of a communications arts realm as opposed to a more of a scientific. And so, you know, when I was growing up and trying to find my place in my career choice of profession, I was really lucky in that the Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, you can do anything with the Fish and Wildlife Service. You know, there's room for not only biologists and plant ecologists, but cartographers and budget analysts and people who work on websites. So there's so many different opportunities and ways to be involved. And with the Houston Community Partnerships and Engagement Program, it's my responsibility to essentially ensure that Houston knows about the 9 National Wildlife Refuges that are within about an hour's drive of the city. And these refuges present a lot of opportunities for the public to get out and enjoy nature. And so the program that I work for, we purposefully design our programs to sort of introduce people to nature in the city, but recognizing that that will eventually lead them to a national wildlife refuge. And, we're also really lucky in that we take every opportunity we can to work with refuges. Like just a couple of weeks ago, we got to go out and go on a duck banding effort with some of the biologists. But we mostly help with the EE programming and special events and other projects. And so supporting refuges in the Houston region is always a top priority for us and certainly articulating that message and getting it out. And so I'm very fortunate that I personally get to apply my communication skills to my passion and love for nature and the outdoors. And that's translated into this program that works very hard to make sure Houston knows about the National Wildlife Refuge System.
I think that's particularly interesting because looking at the map, I don't think there are any major refuges right in Houston. So how do you connect people from the Houston area and the community there with refuges that are, as you mentioned, just an hour or so away? What's the closest refuge and what's the trick to getting them to get out of the city and go to the refuge?
Well, we have some we have some really exciting programs that I think they reflect the needs of the community and sort of the infrastructure of the community, you know, sort of what's happening in Houston. And The closest national wildlife refuge, I suspect, is either Anahuac or Brazoria. But most of these nine national wildlife refuges, they're within, 60, 90 minutes drive from downtown Houston. So sort of depending on what side of Houston you live, you can access a national wildlife refuge within an hour. So there's just a lot of opportunities for the public to get out and enjoy. But how we sort of bring national wildlife refuges, into the community is again, sort of based on the community needs. For instance, Houston has the Texas Medical Center, and the Texas Medical Center plays a really prominent role in the city, and it's part of their identity. People travel to Houston from all over the world to get to the medical center. And so with one of our partners, the Katy Prairie Conservancy, they had the idea to do virtual programming for the kids that were at the UT MD Anderson Cancer Center and were undergoing cancer treatment. And, obviously those kids couldn't get out into nature, and the Katy Prairie Conservancy really wanted to bring nature to those kids and help them ensure they stayed with their schooling. And so, but they didn't, as an organization, they didn't necessarily have the capacity to do that. So my program, the Houston Partnerships Program, stepped in to help them. And we started with these kids who were undergoing treatment and trying to stick with their schoolwork. And then we just started incorporating other partners, including the Region 4 Education Service Center. And Region 4 essentially provides virtual learning for classrooms all across Texas. And so we take these kids out onto a national wildlife refuge or a state forest or wherever, and we engage them in some nature-related project, or they engage with conservation professionals. And so we call the program Virtually Wild Texas, and it's really starting to take off. We are talking to one of the hospitals in Houston that we hope will incorporate this programming into their hospital rooms. And so, it's just we've been taking small steps, but this was based on a need that was identified by the community. And, our hope is that we're going to be able to do Virtually Wild programming for all the hospitals in the Texas Medical Center. And maybe when those young people are feeling better, they'll have their folks drive them out to one of these national wildlife refuges that they learned about while they were, healing. And they can have a direct experience on a national wildlife refuge that they learned about. Yeah, so that's one example.
That's a great story. It's funny. In all of the refuge interviews that I've done, it must be ingrained in U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service culture. I hear the same story over and over again about efforts being made to meet people where they are and bring refuges to them as a means to get folks to want to come to the refuges. Seems like such important work.
Yes, I think so. We spent many years sort of out there hoping people would come visit us and love us, because what's not to love? We're the National Wildlife Refuge System. Who doesn't love us? But the word was not getting out, and I think it's so important. And you can't make assumptions about how people are going to appreciate or enjoy nature, and going to where they are and appreciating the issues of that community and incorporating conservation into that, I think is just, I think it's the right way to do it.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, Texas summers are hotter than Hades. It's hot as can be there. How do you make sure in the summertime people are still making the connection with their environments? Or is there a peak season when you're working with folks, or you soldier through it and figure out how to make it work with some Texas spirit?
Yeah. So, yes, it can be. It's very hot in the summer, no question. But we just tend to schedule our programming for the earlier part of the day. But the remainder of the year, the weather works really well for us. And so there are so many opportunities to get kids outside into nature here in Houston. Houston has an amazing city park system, and there are 10 bayous that wind their way through the city. So, of course, we prefer to teach about nature in nature. And there are a lot of organizations doing really good work and a lot of green space to work with. So, in some instances, we just sort of work around the heat. But for the most part of the year, Houston offers a lot of opportunities for people to get outside and enjoy nature.
Let's talk about those opportunities for a minute. What are some of the challenges that you're facing in Houston, and what do you see as the big opportunity for creating relationships with community groups in the Houston area and helping them connect with refugees?
Honestly, the biggest challenge in Houston is there is so much opportunity. Houston is doing a lot of good and important conservation work, and we would love to support all of it. But, of course, you can only do so much. And so a serious and significant challenge is sort of identifying those areas where we can have the most impact. And so, you know, our charge is to find these partners that are where there's a community need, and we can bring some balance to that issue with conservation, and not just issues, but opportunities as well. So, and of course, there are these disrupting forces. You know, partners have their own challenges arise that force them to shift, and you have to be able to adjust to those changes with them. You know, like Hurricane Harvey, we were all just sort of going along, making progress in our respective areas, and Harvey, Hurricane Harvey, changed the priorities of this community, and we had to change with it. And so you set your sights on a project, and then you adjust. But the Urban Wildlife Partnership program is really, it's designed to be flexible, and we have been able to shift accordingly. So we've been very fortunate in that our partners and our program have been able to sort of take on these challenges and adjust.
We're coming up on a Harvey anniversary. How are things today?
You know, Houston, I was really proud of and for Houston. They did a great job as a community. They supported each other. They helped each other. They made what I thought were good choices. And, you know, that you still see that today. There's a lot of effort in this community to sort of work past that storm or that hurricane and not let it get in the way of good work.
You all have obviously faced some unique challenges down there and are making the most of your unique opportunities as well. What sort of advice would you give to other Urban Wildlife Partnership programs that are trying to be successful?
I think the most important, you know, looking back on it now, because we've been doing this for a few years now, and looking back, I think the most important thing that we did was to listen to our partners. When we first started this program, we just went on a listening tour. We identified various partners that we thought was an obvious, you know, that there was a nexus there, that we could incorporate a conservation message or effort into the work that they were doing. And so we just went around and we listened. And I think, in retrospect, I think that's the most important thing we did, because you can't go into a community and try to, you know, squeeze them into your idea of what conservation should look like. You have to listen to them, and you have to hear them. You have to hear what their needs are, what their priorities are as a community. You know, what is it that they are facing, and how can you incorporate conservation into that? You know, there are instances where it was not clearly a conservation issue, but conservation could help them out. For instance, we had some partners, some young people at a school who self-identified as living in a food desert. And so these young people raised their own money and started planting a fruit tree corridor in the neighborhood near their school. And they were just raising their own money, planting their own fruit trees, taking care of it. And we found out about this. And so we offered to help them by providing pollinator plants, you know, that were beneficial to monarchs. And yes, that is important for conservation, but that's not why we did it. We did it because those young people live in a food desert, and they want to fix that, and they want to change it, and conservation can help make a difference for them. And so I think that's, you know, that's an example of listening to your community and being an asset to them. And it's, you know, the model that works on National Wildlife Refuges is completely different than what works for an urban partnership program. So we're focused on programs that, quite frankly, would have never occurred to me while I was on a refuge. And so it's a completely different way of thinking. And sometimes we really do feel like we're running with scissors over here, because it has the potential to be very creative and very outside the box, and is a whole new way of incorporating conservation. But that's what makes it so effective. You know, and so I would say to the other partnerships out there, don't get stuck on the vision you have in your head. You know, look for those creative ways to apply conservation and apply in a way that's helpful to your community, because in the end, it's good for wildlife and habitat too. It's playing the long game.
So I'm going to use that idea of listening to segue into my next question. There are a lot of people that are listening to this podcast, you know, members of the public, hopefully some lawmakers or their staff. Certainly our own Refuge Association, Urban Refuge Program is listening. So if you had to identify one thing or something to help move your work forward, what would that be? And how can a listener to this podcast, or how could the Refuge Association really help assist in what you're doing?
You know, I think this right here is so important. I think it's, I think communication, that is such a challenge for us. You know, getting the word out about the great work that's being done, you know, not just by the Urban Wildlife Conservation Program, but by the Fish and Wildlife Service. It's a classic Fish and Wildlife Service problem. We are so busy doing the work that we don't always have the ability to share our successes. And I think that's really unfortunate, because I think the American people would be really supportive of what we do. I think they would be excited to learn about the programs that we're doing. And so I think what the National Wildlife Refuge Association is doing is really important. You all do great work supporting refuges and helping us spread the word, like this podcast. And so we appreciate any support, getting the message out. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do moving forward.
Nancy, we love boosting the signal and we want to help you out as much as we can. So going forward, you can be sure to, you've always got a place on Refuge Radio with us. Tell us about your most memorable experience working with the Houston community. What's something that you look back and you think, oh my gosh, that was a big deal?
You know, I have a lot of memorable moments, but I think one of the most rewarding has been seeing that the Urban Wildlife Conservation Program is working. This vision that the Fish and Wildlife Service leadership had about sort of moving into urban areas and going to where people are, that was spot on. And so I think for me, one of the most memorable experiences relating to that is that, you know, we work with this high school. It's called Fur High School, and it's on the east side of Houston. And those kids have some very real challenges. The school estimates that about 10% of their student body is homeless. And so one of the things that we've been doing is trying to introduce those young people to careers in conservation. We've been trying to give them opportunities to sort of find their career in conservation. So they have some amazing teachers that are doing incredible work, and that includes letting the Houston Community Partnerships and Engagement Program give those kids some entry-level experience and sort of a leg up in the job market. So we've been bringing in various natural resource experts to talk to the kids about the different careers. Because, again, you know, you don't know that there are children out there or young people out there who are artists, but they don't see themselves in conservation. And so what we're trying to do with this program is show them, look, we have room for everybody in conservation. Whatever your skill set or your passion is, if you're interested in working for wildlife, there's room for you here. And we want those students to understand that. So one of the programs we did was to have a wildland firefighting crew come do a presentation. And, you know, they brought the engine and they deployed their fire shelters and they pulled out torches and they just showed everybody, you know, the students all the tools and they kind of walked the kids through what it takes to become a wildland firefighter. And one of the students really, I mean, no pun intended, it really lit a fire under this child. He had always had an interest in fire, but he didn't really know what route he could take. And this program really inspired him. And then just through, again, because the partnerships here are so strong, you know, the Texas Forest Service reached out to us and said, we're hosting 130-190. And we said, hey, this young man is interested. Why don't you give him a seat at the table with that course? They got him in there. They got him trained up. They got him his PAC test. He came out of it. And now that young man is spending this summer working as an AD for the Texas Chenier Plain National Wildlife Refuge. And he's out there with those fire crews helping them, you know, put in lines, and he's preparing himself to go out on a fire. And it's not only what he was interested in him, but it's a great source of income for him to help pay for college. And so it's just been really nice and really rewarding to see that young man go from sitting in a classroom and learning to actually taking a step towards becoming a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service employee, or a, not just Fish and Wildlife Service, but a conservation employee. So that has been really, really rewarding and very memorable for me personally.
That's a great story. It's exciting to see that there are green jobs everywhere. And I fought fire for the Forest Service in 2000 in Montana. And some of the men and women that I worked that fire with are still working fire today. So those jobs can go on for a long time. And that's a great story. Joy, I want to throw it over to you. I know you had a couple of questions that you wanted to ask Nancy, and now would be a great time to hear from you.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Kristen. So, Nancy, I would have chimed in earlier, but I was so engaged in listening to all the great stories and engagements that you have, especially the young gentleman that you just spoke about. When we think about ourselves as kids, though, if we can think that far back, I know it's challenging for me sometimes, but what's that one thing, what's your feel good? We always had it when we were kids, when we were playing outside in nature, or our parents said, just get out the house, get out of our way, go do something. And we always were able to just have fun as a child. As an adult, it sounds like your day-to-day is just your feel-good. But do you have something that kind of brings that kid out in you as well, besides your day-to-day work?
Of course I do this because I'm one of those really lucky people who happen to get the job doing what she loves. So, but for me, I guess anything that gets me back out on the water is always, it sort of takes me back, and it reinforces sort of this ethic and this love of the land and why I'm doing all of this. There's something about being on the ocean or a river or a lake that is just really, really empowering. And so I love those times when in this program we are able to get the kids out into kayaks or, out into a wetland. I think one of the most memorable moments I've had in this program that really just took me back was, we took these young people, the refuge staff out at Anahuac was having a duck banding session, and they had launched a rocket, and we took these young people out there to experience this and to help, to have them help band ducks. And so that, being in that wetland and just watching the sun come up and waiting for those birds and seeing the excitement of these young people, I fell for it. I was in the moment with them, and I really, really, it just took me back because being, it doesn't have to just be recreation on the water. Being in a wetland setting or being on the ocean to me is just a really, it's my happy place.
Lovely.
Did I answer your question?
You did. And I'm sitting here right now just thinking about my last trip to Bear River, where once again I got on an airboat, and you'll actually see it in our next feature. There's a little soundbite of the airboat going across the refuge, and I mean, just that moment of just being out there was just, as I like to say, priceless. But yeah, you definitely did answer my question, and I'm sure Kristen would love to take up a lot more of our time on this podcast that we probably don't have to delve more about the kayaking and being on water, because that's one of his loves and his passions. So, Kristen, with that, I'll kind of pass the baton back to you, because I I do know that we do need to do a little close-up. So.
Sure. Well, Nancy, Joy's not wrong. I would love to talk about kayaking, but we'll have to save that for another show. Will you come back and chat with us again?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Nancy Brown is a public outreach specialist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. She works with the Houston Community Partnerships and Engagement Program to bring the values of conservation to Houston and its community. Before her 20 years with the refuge system, she served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Ecuador and was an ocean kayak guide in Alaska and Mexico. Nancy, thanks again. We'll see you next time on Refuge Radio.